February 24th, the finding of the head of St. John the Baptist. The great and glorious Baptist John was beheaded according to the wish and instigation of the wicked Herodias, the wife of Herod. When John was beheaded, Herodias ordered that his head not be buried with his body, for she feared that this awesome prophet somehow would resurrect. Therefore she took his head and buried it deep in the ground in a secluded and dishonorable place. Her maidservant was Joanna, the wife of Chuza, a courtier of Herod. The good and devout Joanna could not tolerate that the head of the man of God remain in this dishonorable place. Secretly she unearthed it, removed it to Jerusalem, and buried it on the Mount of Olives. Not knowing of this, King Herod, when he learned of Jesus and how he worked great miracles, became frightened and said, "This is John whom I beheaded. He has been raised from the dead." St. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. After a considerable period of time, an eminent landowner believed in Christ, left his position and the vanity of the world, and became a monk, taking the name Innocent. As a monk, he took up abode on the Mount of Olives, exactly in the place where the head of the Baptist was buried. Wanting to build a cell for himself, he dug deep and discovered an earthen vessel, and in it a head, which was mysteriously revealed to him to be the head of the baptizer. He reverenced it and reburied it in the same spot. Later, according to God's providence, this miracle-working relic, the head of St. John, traveled from place to place, sunk into the darkness of forgetfulness, and again was rediscovered. Finally, during the reign of the pious Empress Theodora, the mother of Michael and the wife of Theophilus, and at the time of Patriarch Ignatius, it was translated to Constantinople. Many miraculous healings occurred from the relic of the forerunner, precursor. It is important and interesting to note that while he was still alive, John did no miracles. St. John chapter 10, verse 41. However, his relics have been endowed with miraculous power. The Venerable Erasmus. Erasmus was a monk in the Monastery of the Caves in Kiev. He inherited great wealth from his parents and spent all on adorning churches, especially on silver plating and gilding icons. When he had become impoverished and remained without anything, he was despised by all. The devil whispered to him that he squandered his estate in vain instead of distributing his wealth among the poor. He gave it for the adornment of the churches. Erasmus succumbed to this temptation and believed it, for which he despised himself and fell into a state of despair and began to live aimlessly and lawlessly. When the hour of his death approached, the brethren assembled around him and discussed his sins, which he himself was not conscious of. All at once he straightened up in bed and said, "Fathers and brothers, it is as you say. I am sinful and unrepentant. But behold, St. Anthony and St. Theodosius appeared to me, and after that, the All-Holy Mother of God told me that the Lord gave me more time for repentance." The Mother of God also spoke these encouraging words to him, "The poor you have with you in every place, and my churches you do not." Erasmus lived for 3 more days, repented, and fell asleep in the Lord. This teaches us that zeal for the church and adornment of the churches is a task pleasing to God. St. Erasmus died in the year 1160 A.D. Hymn of Praise, St. John the Baptist. To John let us pray, the baptizer glorious, of the Savior, the trumpet, of the Creator, the servant, by God sent, to help us how he can. To John let us pray, awesome and holy, through him so that God the Most High would help us. Help us, O John, wherever danger threatens, the faith to be preserved, O John, help us, and for us to be bread in all days and to the end, that in every sheaf we may see, in every sheaf the footstep of God. When night falls, let it dawn. O John, help us, sinners, that we may repent. Before the end we reach, before the day of judgment dawns, O John, help us. Traditional Serbian toast honoring St. John the Baptist. Reflection. They are neither our good teachers nor our good friends who do everything for us according to our will. Venerable John Moschus writes about a prominent woman of a senatorial family who visited the Holy Land. Arriving in Caesarea, she decided to remain there and turned to the bishop with this request: "Give me a maiden to teach me the fear of God." The bishop introduced her to a humble virgin. After a period of time, the bishop met that woman and asked her, "How is the virgin to whom I introduced you?" "She is good," replied the woman, "but she is of little benefit to my soul because she is humble, allows me to do my own will. For me it is required that she reproach me and not allow me to do whatever I want." The bishop then gave her another girl of a very coarse character, who began to rebuke the woman, calling her a senseless rich woman and the like. After some time, the bishop again asked the woman, "And that maiden, how does she conduct herself with you?" "She truly benefits my soul," replied the senator's wife, and so she became very meek. Excerpt from The Spiritual Meadow by John Moschus. Contemplation. To contemplate the Lord Jesus as a stumbling block for sinful self-conceit, vanity, i.e., for the perverted mind of mankind which thinks sensually and fleshly and opposes the mind of Christ. For sinful self-love, i.e., for the perverted heart of man which does not accept in itself neither the love of God nor the love of man. For sinful self-will, i.e., for the perverted will of man which, as such, opposes the will of God. Homily, about repentance and the forgiveness of sins, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. St. Luke chapter 24, verse 47. This is the final instruction of the Savior to the holy apostles. In these words, as in the shell of a walnut, is contained the gospel of reconciliation between God and men. What does God seek from men, and what does God give them? He seeks repentance, and he grants forgiveness of sins. He seeks little, but he gives all. Let men only repent for committed sins, and let men cease to sin, and men will receive all from God. All. Not only all that their hearts could desire, rather even more, much more. In truth, to the righteous, everything is promised. The righteous will be the inheritors of the kingdom of God. They will be the sons of God, and they will be the children of light, the children of immortality, companions to the angels, brothers of Christ. The righteous will have an abundant life, an abundance of peace, an abundance of wisdom, an abundance of power, and an abundance of joy. The righteous will have all, for all has been promised to them. Let men only repent, and they will receive all. Let the beggar only cleanse himself, bathe himself, and clothe himself in purity before the doors of the royal court, and he will be immediately ushered into the royal court, and he will be met and embraced by the king, and he will have all. He will live with the king, sit at the royal table. He will have all, all, all. O my brethren, these are not only words, rather this is the living and holy truth. For we know that many penitents, both female and male, received all of this which was promised. Many have appeared from the other world and have proved the truth of these words, witnessing how they now live as royal sons and daughters. But they repented promptly, and there remains time for us to repent, if we desire to be together with them as the heirs of the kingdom. O merciful Lord, Help us that we may repent before death in order that we may live eternally. To you be glory and thanks always. Amen.